Good morning to you. We say unto you, praise the Lord today for his mighty acts to the sons of men and how good he's been to us. We thank you for tuning in to this radio broadcast. Even if you've tuned in from listening prior to this, or you turn your station on at this hour to hear the whole truth radio broadcast, we welcome you to the spirit of the church. We welcome you to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the gates of glory. We invite you. It is a wonderful time for us to be alive, knowing the truth of God and how to save ourselves from the world and its wickedness. We are so thankful to God for how he has allowed us to house his word and to give it to all men who want to save themselves, who want to be delivered, and who want to get back to God in peace. I give you this thought today as we sit together for this hour to see if we can confirm to ourselves or to others that you believe God. Because after the apostles had preached to cities, the gospel tells me that they went back to confirm the disciples and to confirm the souls to see who was doing after what they had taught. So the whole basis of the gospel is once it's preached, then someone has to confirm that you are doing the thing according to the gospel or according to what God has led the man of God to give to the people. So in the whole process of things, even Isaiah began to look down the telescope of time to talk to the servants of God to say how that these things must be confirmed. If you purchased a ticket to go somewhere in a natural sense, you will be confirmed on that flight or on that train ride or on the bus ride or whatever. They will give you a confirmation number. They give you something to let you know you are designated to go on this particular trip. And in Acts, when you see that Paul had preached in some places, he didn't say he had to go back to confirm the things. Even in Mark, when the Lord was sending his apostles out, he was saying that their gospel then will be confirmed by miracles and signs. So it's this thought of today I wanted you to think about. Have you confirmed your homegoing or your beliefs by what the word of the Lord said? Is there any signs following your confirmation of your belief? If you say you believe God, then that has to be confirmed by the word of God, that you are believing it by what is written in the word of God. And as I travel around the world, coming back now from Europe and from Germany and other places, it is a eye-opener to people that say they believe God when you see the act of people is not according to what is written in the truth of God. In traveling, there is a church in Prague that has supposedly the idol or statue of the baby Jesus that is 1600 or more years old. It's a ceramic doll that got broken in the World War I or whatever it was, and it's found it sitting in a corner, and now they dress it up in all these silk dresses, and it's in this gold cage, a glass cage trimmed in gold, and millions of people walk by and pray to it. And it is amazing. My little nephew that's now in Germany stopped at the doll. He's about 8 years old. He looked up at the doll and he looked at these women praying and doing things to the doll. And he looks back at the doll and he looks at them. And then he looks to his mother and asks, are we supposed to pray to idols? And of course, the mother had to push the child along. And he come to me. He asked, Uncle Bishop, can you show me in the scriptures why we're not supposed to pray to idols? And he remembered in his children's Bible that his mother introduced him to when he was very, very young, that Moses, there was an incident with Moses and idols. And I took him back to Genesis and showed him where Aaron took all of the earrings and the jewelry and the thing from the people and molded a calf after a spirit had delivered them from their oppressors. And this spirit led a man to lead them out and bring them to safety. Once they got to safety and wondered what happened to the man, they all went back in their mind and they picked this idol, this molten calf, made it and said, this is the thing that brought us out, knowing that thing did not even exist at the time that they were being led out of the out of Egypt. And in showing the young man where it is written in the scriptures, it became clear to this child of how important it is to know who God is and to know how to worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't make idols of any kind to represent what God is. God is not anything that could be made by men's hands. So when you go into temples today, you have to wonder, are there any idols in there that I'm looking at saying that's who Christ is or that is God? Those are the things that cannot be in the church, is because it causes your mind to look at a particular thing and worship the thing that you see, when God is a spirit. And if you worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. So these idols that we have to make sure that they do not represent what God is, because they can't. God is a spirit. And to put in your mind that he's anything other than that is something that he said, do not do. So it is amazing to me, in all the travels around the world, even in visiting other countries, and you talk to the ministers or the priests of the temples, and you make a simple statement like this, and you make them wonder, why is it that we have all of these things? Because they're thinking that it helps you with your journey to see who God is, when God wants the journey to be a spiritual one. And it is these things that make us to know that if it is not by what is written, then someone needs to come back and confirm that what we're doing is right according to the scriptures. And as I went to places where Paul preached and where Peter preached, and my feet touched where their feet possibly touched, and you see the gospel has gone into idolatry, it brings you back as I stood on Mars Hill and looked out and saw the city given over to idolatry, just like his eyes saw in that day. You can see the entire city given over to idolatry, because you see all of these idols that are made with men's hands that people are worshiping. And it's amazing that that has now gotten into the temples, where we are now bringing even such things that are like crosses. And this puny looking man that has a loincloth on, and we're saying that is Christ. It is important that the church be mindful of where my mind is going when I worship God. Is my mind open to receive the voice of God and not have to see anything? Because he said, they that are of God have seen him, but it is a spiritual awakening, because it is this process of have to go home to my Father, to my God, and I don't know what he is now, but the scripture says I'm going to be like he is. And that is the thing that the church is very cognizant of, is I have to worship in spirit. And when I can close my eyes and worship God, nothing comes as a idol in my mind that separates me from the spirit. I don't look at a image on a cross and say that is God in my mind. My mind is open for the voice of God, for the spirit of God, for the moving of God, because he said I was made in his image. So I don't know what he looks like, but I know his image is what I wear. So I don't try to perceive in my mind when I'm serving him what he looks like. I want to know who he is, what he is, and do those things that he has told me to do. Christ is seen by our works. If someone is ill and you, it comes across your mind to go visit and sit with him, herein lies Christ. When you give of your time and you give of your energy to someone that is of a lower degree or a higher degree, doesn't matter what degree they are, in terms of they are people, and Christ is seen from person to person. And it is by what we do that Christ is seen. And today I wanted to come and just make that point to you to see if you're going to think about these things while we're doing these things. Is this of God? Because all of the time that the children of Israel was led out of the land of Egypt, they were led by a spirit, but that spirit used the man that for them to follow. And Paul coming and preaching in 1 Corinthians, he began to say, just follow me as I follow Christ. Meaning, do those things that I'm preaching and I'm teaching you to do so that you will know who Christ is. You will know the depth of him. You will know the height of him. You'll know all that he is by what you do. And herein lies the confirmation from the apostle of Jesus Christ that these are the signs that are following believers, and the things that are required that we do to save ourselves. These things must be done by the one that God sent. It is so important that if you realize that there is no one to confirm your salvation, then I would say you are in a little trouble, because it takes that confirmation from God that you're doing the things according to the word. And if you're doing something outside of the word and your mind confirms that you're doing out of the word, then that is God letting you know you're out of the word. When you think about this journey that we're on, you came into this life not knowing from whence you came. And when you got in this life, you came not being satisfied, being made on the order of this natural man. But in this, God has made a way of escape for all of us who want to save ourselves and live again. And in that living again, we say a lot of things in the church, like, you know, I'm going home, eternal life, my salvation, you know, going to Canaan. All of these things we say to mean that I'm going to a place that God has prepared. And this place that he's prepared is for my everlasting habitation. So we have a lot of things we are saying of where we're going, but is our work the thing that God requires to do that? Had the children of Israel not followed Moses, they would not have made it even for Joshua to take them over. Those that did not believe him, the scripture tells me they died in the wilderness, and they are there today. Those that believed were confirmed by Joshua, and they went over to the promised land as we know it. Our land is this spiritual home that God made in himself. And to get you to understand that all of the troubles and the trials of this life is to get your mind to this place that I want eternal salvation. So if you're having tribulations, if you're having troubles, and you're having instances in your life that causes you to think on God, these are the things that are leading you to eternal salvation that he has in store for you if you believe. Now, the thing is, you got to do then what is required. What then is required? All right, so you say, Bishop Patterson, confirm to me what I must do. Then I'm going to say to you the same things that was said aforetime. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues like they did everywhere else in the scripture when they received it, and contend steadfastly for this faith. What you believe, is my belief according to the scripture? Do I remove all idols out of my mind? Do I get all of these other things out of my mind and let a spirit, which is God, consume me? This is what I will tell you to do, as the Spirit then led the church. When it first started, you had people sitting waiting on God to overshadow them. And there was no image to overshadow them. It was a spirit that sat on all of them, caused all of them that were in the upper room to then begin to speak in tongues. And it was verified and confirmed by men of those places that heard everyone speaking in their languages. So the confirmation came even at Cornelius' house. The confirmation was there because our Jewish brothers heard the Gentiles now speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they said they have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. What was their sign? What was their confirmation that they had received the Holy Ghost? They heard them speak and in another tongue as the Spirit gave utterance. So it is these things now, as I've been preaching on this broadcast for years, and you ask the questions, but now I'm looking for the confirmation of, do you understand what the gospel is? Do we understand what it is we must do to save ourselves? And lately, most of the calls and the letters or whatever you get, the emails and the tweets and the Facebook, whatever, is like, I'm sick. Can you pray for me? What about the gospel? Oh, I don't have any money. Can you pray for me? I need a financial blessing. I haven't figured that one out yet. What is a financial blessing? But anyway, you hear these things and you wonder, do you want the gospel? The gospel is the thing that's going to bring about all of these other blessings that you ask. It is obeying the gospel and giving you the salvation of God that will get you to this place where you say you're going. If you understand that I'm going to a better place, I'm going to a place not made with hands. How are you going? What journey, what road are you on? Have you been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you say you believe? And it is the gospel that is bringing us all into this unity of what we believe. It's the gospel that's bringing us into the faith. What should I believe? How should I think about God? How should I view God? How should I believe God? And the man of God comes, and these days we use what's called, this radio, these airways, which belongs to the devil. The devil has dominion over the airways. But this way we figured out to get to you is to come into your homes, come into your cars, come into wherever you are listening, so that the spirit of who I am is coming across. You have no image of what I look like unless you've seen me on some of these websites or whatever. But other than that, you hear my spirit. You hear the spirit of God that's coming to say, you must do this. And it is important that you do this. And we can have this dialogue and our spirits going back and forth with one with the other. And our minds are thinking on the same thing at this moment, because you are listening as I'm speaking. And I'm saying, this is what God has always required. And if there is any doubt in your heart or mind about anything, it is time now for you to confirm, if I'm going to have eternal salvation, I need to make sure that my calling and what I have elected to do is I'm sure about it. And if you are sure about it, then I'm going to tell you, you continue in that thing that you are sure in, that you have tried every spirit and you found God at every turn, that he's there, and everything that you're doing according to the gospel is right as Jesus left it and gave it and taught his apostles, that you are doing exactly what they did for the salvation of the soul. If you aren't, it is time. It is past time. This is the warning. It is past time to get yourself right with God. It is not a good thing just to call to ask for blessings. Why don't you call and say, I'm not baptized in Jesus' name. I need the baptism. I don't have the Holy Ghost. Will you wait with me? Will you tarry with me? Will you teach me how to wait upon the Lord? These are the things that the gospel do. The gospel is the thing that carry men from a natural state to a spiritual state. And the spiritual state changes the heart from stony heart that it doesn't believe the gospel to a fleshly heart that believes it. This is what the preacher's job is, to confirm to you that this is the way to get to the life that you're talking about in your heart and your mind, and that you're going to see God in peace. Now, the object then of the gospel is to turn you from darkness to the light of the word. Hear it now is the word. When the people heard about the resurrection to life, when the gospel was being preached and they heard about this resurrection from the dead, they asked the rest of the apostles, they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And Peter, standing up with the other 11 and all the men, and said, look, men and brethren, this is what you must do. You got to repent. When you get to the Acts of the Apostles and you go to the second chapter and you begin to look at the thing of how it started, it started with this speech from the man of God to confirm to those souls that believed, if you want to be saved and come up in the resurrection of life, he said, you must repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Ghost. These were the criteria for the salvation of souls. Now, when they got to Cornelius' house, we discussed this when we talked about the baptism, the Gentile family got it also from the apostle Peter that they had to be baptized in water. They had to receive the Holy Ghost. And he said, now contend. They got the Holy Ghost first. As the gospel was being preached to them, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And then Peter commanded that they be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, Peter knew when Christ gave them the directions in Matthew 28:19, that the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was Jesus. This is how Isaiah 9:6 can prophesy that for unto us a child is born. The son was going to be given. The government was going to be upon his shoulder. He was going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We knew that that was God that was going to be born. Even the name Emmanuel being interpreted, God with us, that God was going to put on a body, come and live and die and give us this plan of salvation. It was this route that the Spirit took to make a way for us to save ourselves. This route that he took was from a natural state to death, from death over into life, and then from life to everlasting. It was this route that Jesus took by going down to the ground, changing and converting something from carnal to spiritual, from terrestrial to celestial in the ground. That's the route that we have to take. So if we do not do the things on this shore that gives us this opportunity, then we are not going to be able to come up out of the ground, because it is that quickening power, which is the Holy Ghost, that gives us the power in the grave to come up again. If the natural body is not filled with God, then there is no quickening power in the ground to make you get up again. It is the quickening power that's going to raise us up from death. It is the quickening power of God that even if we're walking along the face of the earth and have not died and he come, he will quicken our mortal bodies while we are yet walking along. These are the things that the gospel will confirm to you, how to get the indwelling Christ, because he said, now that the kingdom of God is in us, that kingdom is the Spirit. That is how you know that I am going to live again. These are the confirmations as you walk along that the gospel will give you as the gospel is preached to you. This is why the gospel is the cross. The gospel is the rising up from the dead. The gospel is all of these things that will get your mind away from a natural state to a spiritual state. And in the coming days, as I was telling you about, we have to get rid of the idols in our minds so that we can worship God in spirit and in truth. In my travels, they ask a lot of questions about what is the faith of the apostles, and we say we believe everything that is written. And when we come across things that the world do, the church just doesn't do the things of the world. The world don't like us and we don't like it. We've come out of the world by the gospel. The gospel changed us from carnal states to a spiritual state. And in my travels this time, there were questions about the upcoming holidays, the why did the church do not believe in the holidays. Well, the church never did. It wasn't Christ that instituted the celebration of his birth on December 25th. Mind you, December 25th was nowhere on the calendar at the time, because you only had that where it was really Deca means 10. October is the 8th month. November is the 9th month. But because Julius and Augustus Caesar got month, you got July and August. Now you have this 12-month calendar. But anyway, the thing is, Christ was never in Christmas. The celebration of his birthday and the way we do these things has never been according to the scripture. Even if you look at Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, he specifically tell you not to learn the way of the heathens. And in his sight that he began to tell the church, he warned us of what not to do. And when you bring this scripture to say, let's confirm whether or not the church is going to involve itself with the holidays. And you go to Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, and he said, hear ye the word of the Lord speaking unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathens are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Here, you know from Jeremiah's writings, what do we do with so-called Christmas trees? We go to the forest, we cut them out, we bring them in, we deck them with silver, we deck them with gold, we fix them so they do not move. This custom did not start yesterday or a few years ago. Jeremiah told the church, Israel, do not do this. And here, the custom of people of vain that we bring this custom and we say, okay, the church is going to do this. Come on. Can we confirm that this is right for the church to do when we were told not to do it? Because people's customs are vain. We don't follow after the world. We go just contrary to them as they are to God. We go contrary to them. So these are the things that the gospel then come to confirm. What we do is thank God always that he was born, but we thank him that he died. Our life is in that he died and shed his blood and gave us this way of salvation. This is where our life is in our baptism, where we die with him. But we are so thankful that the child was born as prophesied, but to take it and make it a holiday, and we do all these pagan things and say Christ is associated with pagan things, the church needs to really think, do we really do this? And the church's answer always is no. Why not? Because the prophet Jeremiah told us, do not do this. And how, what does it look like for a Christian who follow Christ to open their windows, have a tree from the forest, deck it with silver and gold, even the songs, deck the halls. You're decking, you're decorating, you're doing all of this to a tree when the man of God said, don't do it. So if the gospel has to stand alone, it stands alone on its own and said, this is what I require. So at the confirmation of a saint, of a disciple, it is confirmed that if you don't do these things, then you are following Christ. It is confirmed if you're doing these things, then you must have a change in what you're doing to make sure that your calling and what you elected to do is sure. So as Paul, as Barnabas, and the rest of the apostles preached the gospel and went back to confirm souls, what I've been doing now for years is establishing the gospel, establishing that God has sent me to preach the gospel, and then going back to confirm the disciples and confirming the souls that they are contending in the thing that Christ has asked them to do. And when you look at Mark, the 16th chapter and the 20th verse, he tells them to go and preach the gospel everywhere. And the Lord will work with us, and he will confirm what his gospel is by the signs. So the signs that follow us is the ones that are repenting of their sins, the ones that are going down in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And they are speaking in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost. If they never speak in tongue again, that one sign is that this is the sign for the gift of the Holy Ghost. I heard from some young people in some parts of Texas that called me and said tongues had ceased because the Bible was here. The Bible was the perfect thing. And after we discussed that whole thought, they had to come to the conclusion that that's not what the Apostle Paul was talking about. So tongues has not ceased as our sign for receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, because that's what the apostle said it would do. But there will come a time that tongues and the prophecy will cease once they've been fulfilled. As you know, all of the gospel that have come to us, the scripture says the prophets were unto John. So everyone that prophesied until John the Baptist came, Christ then fulfilled all of those things that were spoken of concerning him. Then the prophets began to speak of those things that are coming for us. Christ began to lay down the new birth for us that we can save ourselves from the world that we're in now. My heart is really full as I've gone across the water in the last weeks and coming back and being overshadowed by the Spirit to tell the church and to give a message to the church to confirm that they are disciples of Jesus Christ because they're doing the things that are written in the Word was a wonderful experience for me. I think it was the height of my entire ministry for these years since I've been preaching the gospel and teaching around the world. That moment was just such a eye-opener for my mind that you are back now to confirm that these souls are following the gospel. And as I looked out over the congregation and caused their minds to consider all of the things that God had done for them, not just in this ministry, but in the ministries of Bishop S. McDowell Shelton, Bishop Nehemiah, and Bishop S.C. Johnson, who started this in 1919 with the other brethren that came to Azusa Street in California. And when they began to talk about the scriptures and what they were going to do in this so-called Pentecostal movement, that Bishop Johnson was the only one out of all of these group of men that said he heard the voice of God. And they began to lay down the apostles' doctrine as the Spirit was giving it back to the church. So as we looked back all of those years and we began to give an account of all of the miracles and things that have followed the church, that we began to confirm that this is the truth. Even back from when Bishop Johnson, a man fell off of a three-story building onto a concrete sidewalk. And Bishop Johnson called the man by his name and he got up with no broken bones. And these miracles that he did as he walked the face of the earth. And when Bishop Shelton came along and he would take his fingers and plug it into a deaf girl's ear and speak to her while his fingers are plugging her ears, and she answered him to what her name was and how old she was, and realizing that she was hearing him, and a deaf mute who never spoke anything, an eyewitness, this one, that the deaf mute stood up and say, "I have the Holy Ghost." And this was his tongues, and that's all he ever said. And to see that moment and to realize this was confirmation of the man of God's work, as he moved from city to city, from state to state and country to country, as Bishop Shelton made it grow from what Bishop Johnson left in 1961, he began to carry the gospel to India. He carried the gospel to South America. He carried the gospel to Africa, began to spread the gospel over this radio that Bishop Johnson was one of the pioneers of preaching the gospel over the radio. You look in Ebony magazine and you'll find his picture as the one that Ebony began to use, because they were exploring these churches now using the radio to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bishop Johnson is the one that led that movement of doing that, because he had a vision of God saying good evening, and he heard himself talking over the radio when he condemned it as the devil's box because of other things that were on it. But then God used that box or this airways or this medium to get the gospel over to other souls. So as he began to spread the gospel, we are looking back and looking at all of the things that confirmed who they were. God sends me now to confirm the disciples. Who's following the word? Who's following after the gospel? Who's looking at what they're doing and tailoring it to what is written, what was written aforetime, and what you're doing now? It is that legacy that God has that has brought us into this present hour, this present moment that we are now knowing that we are children of the Most High God. We know now we are children of the resurrection to life everlasting. How do I know it? The man of God has confirmed it. How did the man of God confirm it? He looked into my eyes. He looked into my soul and he said to me, "You are children of the resurrection to life everlasting," and made me believe it. He gave me these words that I am the house that Jesus built brick by brick on a solid foundation, that I can go home at any time and rest assured knowing that my soul will meet the Lord in peace. How do I know these things? Because it was confirmed to me by the gospel. The gospel confirmed it to me. Now, if there is a conflict and what is being confirmed, and you cannot confirm it in yourself, then you've got to reconcile some things. You got to do some things to make sure that your calling is sure. And the calling has got to be sure by what is written in the word. So if you haven't been baptized, I can't confirm that you're on your way to Canaan or on your way to the promised land or on your way to eternal salvation. If you have not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, this gospel cannot confirm to you that you're going to meet the Lord in peace. There is a consequence of not obeying the gospel. And all of the words of the Lord, all of the scriptures is for confirmation. It's either I'm doing right or I'm doing wrong. If you're not doing what the scripture said do, then I advise you to get up today and get to doing it. The gospel is out. This is why it is going over this air, to try to find the souls, to bring them in. The word of the Lord is separating sheep from goats. The word of the Lord is separating truth from lie. The word of the Lord is separating bad from good or from evil. The word of the Lord is doing the separation. The word of the Lord is doing the confirmation. Can you confirm that your calling is sure? When you look at, I pass 10, 15, 20 buildings with churches' names on them, coming to this radio station from my home here, coming here with, and there's so many houses of worships, all believing different things. Now, we know that is not of God. God is one. Now, you got to confirm by the scriptures, there must be someone carrying the truth, all of it, to confirm to me that I'm all right with God. I wouldn't die without this confirmation. And if you were in the truth and you left because you say, well, I got a calling and the Lord called me. Why would the Lord have to call you when the calling has already gone out? The man of God is already here to put in place what the church is wanting. We have this, as Paul preached in Ephesians, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's who God deals with. He set the apostles in there to preach and to teach. He set the prophets in the church to give us the sight of what God is going to do. And this confirmation is prophetic. I'm confirming that your trip, Elder Askew, in our last meeting or meeting before last or whenever it was, it all goes into one thing now in my mind, but he was talking about this home. He said, I finally figured it out that my home is not a building. He said, I finally figured out that as I thought as a child that I had a house that was a building. But then he realized, he said, somebody told me now the address of the home is Jesus. It is the spirit. It is this name that I can get in and I can find comfort for my soul. I can go into this spirit where my home is and find the peace that surpass the understanding of things. And he realized once I received the Holy Ghost, I had the home dwelling in this natural frame. So when it decays, that I will rise in my home because I'm already at home in God with the Holy Ghost because God sent a confirmation to me that I had my ticket, that everything was all right with my soul. It is well with my soul. Can you say that today? Can you be, as Elder Askew, so firm in his confirmation that he knows if he set before any board to be confirmed as the disciple of Jesus Christ, they'll look at his work and everyone has to stamp it and say, amen, he's confirmed a disciple. Can you be confirmed? If you have to go to a confirmation hearing, can you be confirmed by everyone that looks at your work? Because that's what they look at. What have you done? But even from death he was in, the Elder Askew can now say, I was dead, but he's saying, I'm alive now and I'm alive now forevermore. How does he know that? He said, because it was preached to me. So when I come back and I go before the church, I remove all obstacles so the church can understand my speech. So when I come to the radio station and I come and do this broadcast, I have a speech for you that is different from what I give the church. And it's difficult for me as the man of God to make these broadcasts when I'm in front of the church, because I see something different that when I'm at the radio station, when I'm talking to the world. There's a different speech I have when I'm talking to you than I'm talking to the church. I must build the church up in faith. I must continue to let them know of where they are headed, because it is sure. How do I make it sure? Because God is confirming my gospel by signs in their lives. So when I ask them to be my furnishings for the house of God, because the scripture says the man of God must have furnishings, must have good works. And I look at the congregation and I see that they are obeying me when I said, get debt free. And they start praying and asking God to make a way that they be debt free. And they, a way is made, it appears to be out of no way, but it was in God that the young lady was testifying, at our meetings, that she said, I heard Bishop say, get debt free. And she said, Lord, I want to do it. And the Lord made a way for her that she was at a job some 10, 15, 20 years ago. And while she was at that job, they had put all this money in this account, whatever the name of the accounts were. And they just calling her saying that they wanted to pay out what was in the account. She's gone from there for years. But the Lord did that. You know that, listening to me say, you know, the Lord did that. And it was enough in that account that they had for her to get her debt free. And she come back and tell the church. Don't you know the church then began to glorify God because of the sign at my confirmation? Is this is possible? If you believe God, it is possible. When someone, I was telling you the last time I was here, that she, older lady, was given up to die until the church got there. When she sent her son to go to the church, she said, her son said, Mom, I need an address. Well, she was just like when Cornelius sent his men for Peter. She said, he's by the seashore. And the lady said, go on David Street, somewhere down there, you'll find his church. And that was enough information that the woman gave her son, that he found us. Though she was in a hospital dying, when he found us, she's still alive today. Because why? The church got involved. But the sign of the confirmation was when the church got there, everything began to get better. That's what that happens with the church. So my speech again to you today is, can you confirm that you're all right with God? If you were in the church and you went out and started something else, built another building, built another way and called it another name and did something else other than what was already established, can you confirm that you're all right with God today? By that act, can you confirm the reason that you had to leave and do something else and you say God did that? God doesn't call pastors, evangelists. The apostle put those in place. God deals with apostles and prophets. He gives the prophets the sight. He gives the apostles the word, and they lay the foundation for truth. Not on another man's foundation, but on their own. Can you confirm that it was all right for you to start another work and say God called you to pastor the church? That's outside of the plan. Can you confirm that today, that you're all right with God? If you close your eyes and go to your box, can you confirm you're going to rise again? I can confirm you're not, because I can prove that you're not. The scripture says they went out because they were not all of us. So somebody went out. And if you think that you can go out and be all right just because you put Bishop Johnson's picture on a wall and the picture of the old church in your office, that doesn't make you all right with God. Every building that believes in the Christian way, all of them have the scriptures in their buildings. Don't make it right. Can you confirm today that all is well with your soul? Today, I'm asking you, come. Let's confirm some things. Let's get the thing right. The gospel is coming for you to get it right. You can't meet God if you don't have it right. In Acts, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse, after the disciples came and they preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, the scriptures say they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. And then here's the point of it, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. If I go back to Bishop Shelton's work, I must tell you to get in faith, do what he said, believe what he said, not what someone said after he was gone, and change what he said. Believe what he said. Believe what Christ said. Don't let some preacher come and change what Christ said. If Christ said, I suffer not a woman to teach, don't you come and say it's all right. We then come behind God. We come behind our own work and confirm and exhort you to continue in faith. If you are dying, we tell you to continue believing, because the scripture said these all died in faith. Where you died believing? Believing that the resurrection was near. So I exhort you, if you have left the faith, started something new, believing something different than what was, now is the time to come back and be continuing in faith as the apostles preach. And he said, and that through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. How beautiful is that? That as I go through the tribulations in this life, through this flesh, I am headed toward eternal salvation. But it must be confirmed to me by the man of God that I'm doing the thing right. Who's going to confirm it to you today? My job is to do that. God sent me to confirm it to you today. He said, I am the Lord thy Redeemer. These words should sound familiar to you. And he that formed you from the womb, he said, I am the Lord that maketh all things. He said, I stretch forth the heavens alone, and I spread abroad the earth by myself. The God did this. He said, I confirm my servant's words. Isaiah gave us this sight that God would take his servant and confirm what he said. I'm confirming that Bishop Shelton said Bishop Nehemiah would follow him. I'm confirming that. So if you did not follow that, then you need to say, I got to get myself right. If Christ said, be baptized, and someone come and say, you don't have to do that today, you do what Christ said. And then how can he neglect to save you when he comes if you've done what he said? The reason we got in trouble in the beginning of this thing is when Christ said, do not eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. Don't touch it. Don't even eat of it. And we went against what he said, started this foolishness. But yet we have now an advocate. That enmity that was set between us at that time, God removed it so we can come to him and say, Father, help me. I want to confirm my salvation. I hear this man preaching over the radio, confirm my spirit with his, that if I'm doing something not right, make me do the thing right. The Spirit will make you do it. Once the Spirit of truth has come, it will lead. It will guide you into all truth. Once the Spirit of truth has come, and the Spirit of truth is here, it is my gospel. The truth of what I preach is the gospel. Paul said it's by my gospel in Corinthians, that the salvation is coming to souls. It's by what you hear, not what you see. Faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by looking at statues and trying to get these images in these churches of different saints. And you got a statue of Peter, and you got a statue of Paul, and you got statues of all of these people you're looking at. No, the gospel is a spirit. The spirit is word. Word is God. And that is what's on my tongue. That is what's in my mouth. The seraphims gave it to me to give to you and to charge all of the cherubims that are around you to make sure you make it. And I'm here to confirm it. If you want to be saved, the gospel is here to confirm. Be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm here to confirm you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with your evidence of speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave you utterance. I'm here to confirm. Then you must continue then in the faith that was delivered to the apostles. I invite you, come to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how we do. See what we do in our worship service, that we are so glad that God has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, and that the gospel did this. The gospel told us a lot of people that have come, they used to do things that were so contrary. People come out of women, preachers' churches, saying, thank God we didn't know that that was written, that I suffer not a woman to teach. Why you did not know that was written? It is written. And now you got to confirm, do I believe it? Or are you going to say, oh, that's what Paul said, I believe what Jesus said. But don't you think all inspiration of the word was given to the man to say by God? Don't you think God inspired the man to say that and to write it for the church's sake? I'm here to confirm he's right. And if you are going contrary to it, I'm here to confirm you're wrong. Come now, let us reason together. I'm so glad I have this opportunity to talk to you of what's on my heart and my mind, trying to save. I'm out gleaning for souls because the Lord is soon to come. And I'm out trying to get you to turn and come the way of truth. I can guarantee. Do you know, here's a man saying what he can guarantee? The salvation of your soul if you follow what the scripture says. No one else out there will guarantee that. Everybody is preaching for money. I don't. The church does everything and provide for me, and I thank God for them. What are you going to do? Are you going to be baptized in his name? Or are you going to take the title baptism that you have and say it's okay? It's now time to come. It's now time to come for your confirmation hearing. It's time now to sit in front of the word and all of them that believe and do it right. Come to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. This is a church that is called by his name, Church of his Faith. Won't you come? I invite you. Find us. Come, believe, and let the preaching of the gospel confirm that I made my calling and my election sure. And this is Bishop Patterson saying, come to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, and we'll greet you with what the words say and confirm to you that your calling an election is sure. Thank you for this opportunity. And the next time I get it, I'll be back to talk with you again. Thanks now, and I'll say peace be unto you until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Truth Gospel broadcast of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. For more information, visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org. Dial 610-583-2400. Or write to us at P.O. Box 109, Darby, Pennsylvania, 19023, in the United States of America.
Gracias por escuchar al programa Toda Verdad, Iglesia del Señor Jesucristo de la Fe Apostólica. Ven con nosotros porque te haremos bien. Nos pueden visitar en la página web www.theapostolicfaith.org.
Merci d'avoir écouté l'émission de radio de l'Église du Seigneur Jésus-Christ de la foi apostolique. Venez avec nous, nous vous ferons du bien. Pour plus d'informations, visitez le site www.lafoiapostolique.org.
Děkuji za poslouchání našeho rádia v pravdě Pana Ježíše Krista o apoštolské víře. Více informací naleznete na adrese theapostolicfaith.org.
If you are listening to this broadcast during the day, then have a good day. If you are listening to this broadcast during the evening hours, have a good night.